Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
We got a great program this week because it's in December. We're going to be talking about some year-end planning, some steps you can do today that will have an impact on your, in a positive way, impact on your taxes next year.
We're going to take a couple calls with people wanting to know how to use their home equity effectively.
Yeah, and we're going to also talk about some pretty interesting ways to avoid taxes on required minimum distributions. So stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Do you have a financial question that needs answering? Call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks for joining us today as we talk about the world of finance. Both myself and my co-host here, we are financial advisors. Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial futures. And we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you have someone you're working with today or not, consider this place a great source for information to help you make choices that will give you a sound financial footing.
And it's hard now. The rules change constantly. How many phone calls have you been getting from clients, Scott? What do you think about this tax? Is it going to pass? Is it not going to pass? Right? We've been getting for weeks. We're getting close.
We're really close.
Really close.
And it's looking like it's going to happen.
And I look at this and think, nothing's changed. Nothing.
I got to tell you, you know what's really frustrating for me? There's some things I like about the tax bill, some things I don't like about the tax bill. I don't like the way it's coming down.
How it's done. You mean the process?
Yeah, I don't know why it's getting rammed through. And we don't like getting political on this because I have loved ones that have different, that I disagree with on some political issues. And obviously, at Hanson McLean, we have clients that go across the spectrum. So, and we don't want my personal view to necessarily impact the overall organization because same thing with our team of employees. There's all
kinds of
political.
Yeah, we've got both. Right and left.
But if you kind of think, if we look at what happened with Obamacare and how that there was no support on the other side of the aisle and all the criticism they got over that, and then it looks like the Republican Party is doing the exact same thing. And I'm thinking, and then you got all these little, it feels like there's all this pork getting shoved in all over the place. It feels.
Yeah, it's little pieces of pork all over.
Everywhere.
Like,
what about a simplification? Why don't we just slow down the thing? And let's simplify. I think most people agree the corporate rate needs to come down so we can bring some of the money back to the United States.
Repatriation?
The rest of the stuff, I don't know. It's just really, we haven't talked about it much this year because there's no sense every time there's been lots of discussion. Once we get reconciliation and it becomes law, we will spend some time on it.
Yeah. In fact, we will try to put out if it happens midweek. We will try to put out a tutorial on it immediately.
Yeah, what impacts
you
it's know the
have
typical
on
people,
you, our listeners.
Yeah,
and so sign up for our newsletter.
If you're not, go to HansonMcLean.com. Make sure you're signed up for it because we will get something out, and we will spend a considerable time on one of these shows once it happens. So that's where we're going to be headed. But if you want to join today's program and got a question for us,
let's go to the calls.
We're in Sacramento with Julie. Julie, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
I had a question. Hi, Julie. Hi. My question's regarding a trust situation. My mother recently passed away, and my father and my mother had a trust that was quite a while ago, and it was when they did the bypass and the survivor's trust.
Yep.
So my question, I have two regarding property. Bypass Trust held a property in Lake Tahoe, and after the remaining death of the last person, which was my mother, I am supposed to get the residence, but I have to equalize it by giving a certain percentage to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, are my property taxes going to be reassessed because the cabin's been in the family since like 1936? So we have very low property taxes up there.
And you want this to happen. You want the cabin.
I do.
Okay.
And is it going to be your primary residence?
No.
And is it in the state of Nevada or the state of California?
California.
So for Prop 13 to carry over the tax basis, my understanding is it needs to be a residence, primary residence, not a vacation home.
And it wasn't anyone's primary residence, was it?
No.
No, but their parents owned it forever.
It was second home.
I understand that, but it was their second home.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be able to carry that. I would run this by a CPA, but I'm pretty confident you're not going to be able to carry the property tax.
I don't even know if the CPA would. I guess a CPA could figure this out.
He actually thought it was okay, but he wasn't positive.
Yeah, so. I would count. You know, and is it what county?
Well,
is
why
it?
Didn't he do the research for you? Isn't he your accountant? I mean, you're calling a show, and we're trying to remember off the top of our head. So
we're not even accountants.
But our clients that are in our office when they ask us questions, we don't just make up. We think so because we're very definitive on our answers.
What county is it in?
No, I mean he told. It's in Placer.
Just call the.
I'm pretty confident you can't. It'll be reassessed.
I'm fairly confident.
Call the assessor's office.
Yeah, I would call the assessor's office. I'm fairly and don't expect an immediate answer. They'll probably research it a little bit too. I expect that it would be reassessed.
Yeah.
Now, will that change your decision?
Yes, definitely.
To whether you keep
what's
the property
the home,
or
what's
not.
What's the home worth?
About $550,000.
$550,000. And so right now, you're probably paying...
It's a home and a lot.
You're probably paying, what, $200, $300 a year or something on it, and it's going to go up to $5,000 a year.
I think it's a little more than that, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
50.
It's going to go up significantly.
Yeah, $6,000.
And then how much... how are you going to come up with the cash to pay off your other siblings?
Well, from the trust... There's other assets.
Okay.
But that was my other question because there is a house of my mom's house. And if I wanted to get that house, it sounds like half of that would be reassessed because that's in the survivor's trust. And there's my brother and myself. And it sounds like half of that would be reassessed.
Yeah. Why would you want that property? Like,
well, it's nicer than my property that I'm.
Got it.
You would move
my home.
You would move into that.
Correct.
Okay.
Then you should be able to maintain your Prop 13
on that one.
The challenge you've got, though, and also to consider on these things is the capital gain tax implication. Were there any other assets in the bypass trust other than the cabin?
Just a limited partnership.
Oh, you know,
like seven.
How much money was in there?
Just a limited partnership. It's only worth like $75,000.
And what is the rest of the assets in the Scott brings up a really good point.
Yeah, because you get a step. There's a step up in basis on anything that was in the survivor's trust that mom still controlled.
Correct.
But anything in the bypass trust from a capital gain tax
right,
standpoint.
But it actually was valued higher than the appraisal I got now.
Oh,
back
interesting.
In 2003.
The cabin in Tahoe was worth more in 2003 than it is today?
That's what she did the appraisal. Yeah.
But you don't have a current appraisal today, do you?
I have a current appraisal, yes.
Oh, right.
And what was their appraisal in 2003?
What do you know?
$600,000.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Makes no sense to me.
Anyway. So on the it sounds to me like you need a better tax advisor. Frankly, you ask your CPA and he says, "I'm pretty sure." I would be. You know,
well, I mean, he was actually doing me a favor because you know it wasn't like you know he had to do all this. I mean, that's just.
Is he your accountant? Do you do as your taxes?
It was my mother's accountant.
Not your accountant.
I don't think you're doing anyone a favor when you say, "I'm pretty sure."
Well, Scott, we're not going to. That wasn't what you talked about. We're not here to beat up on the accountant.
But
you need to get specific tax advice. You're not going to
Yeah.
We can tell you we're pretty certain.
In two areas. Two areas. One area.
Should I go to a CPA or a tax accountant? Or a tax attorney?
I don't think you need a tax attorney.
No, CPA is fine.
CPA.
Okay, what does he need the advice on?
On the property tax, and I'm pretty confident that you're going to get reassessed in Tahoe.
But not 100%.
And pretty confident that you can carry forward. If you're in the fact that when it goes into mom's house, you can roll over your cost basis. The second issue is on capital gain tax implications, if there are any, just to look through the estate so we can, as we're figuring out who gets what, how do we divide this up, that we can look on an after-tax basis and see what's the most equitable between the siblings. So I'd get with a good, I'd probably find someone other than the one who said, I'm pretty sure this will work.
You have made that abundantly clear, Mr. Hansen. That bothers you.
Well, we're in a radio program, and every once in a while we get a question that we don't know the definitive answer.
But they've already asked a professional.
And
who
we're
said,
on the radio, so it's not like we have time to do a bunch of research.
But we could, but not
correct.
Join the radio show because it makes for really bad radio.
That's right. I'll be
like, I'm on hold.
Be like this. Wait just a second.
Hold. Okay.
You get the point. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, Julie.
1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Dan in the Bay Area. Dan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Thanks for talking with me this morning.
Thank you, Dan.
Hey, so I'm calling about the infamous, well, in my case, credit card debt. That right now it's really affecting us because when we look at our credit card bills that come in every month, it's like, wow, if we didn't have to put this money out, we'd be living pretty good.
You were living pretty good.
We were at one time. So
when you were using the credit cards to get that debt, that's when the living was good.
Yeah, you're actually right. So we're probably about $50,000 in debt right now on credit cards that are going out. Obviously, we have to pay that every month. Our credit score is great. We make the payments, but it's like it's every beginning of every month, middle of every month, those payments come in. It's like,
so let's what are we gonna do? Let's talk about the rest of the assets. Do you own a home?
Okay, we own a home. Correct.
What's the value?
We're probably value is about $540 probably right now.
What do you owe on it?
$300.
And what's the interest rate?
3.75.
All right. And then how much do you guys make?
I'm the only one working. My wife doesn't currently work. I'm at about $120,000 gross.
And how many kids do you have?
None. It's just us two.
Okay. All right. So
you end up with $50,000 credit card debt with just the two of you at $100,000 a year in income?
Over years and years and years of just not being smart, to be honest with you. I got to be completely upfront.
Yeah.
Being smart.
It happens.
Putting too much stuff on the credit card and, you know, paying for things that we should have paid cash for and we didn't.
So
your best bet then at this point is to come up with a plan that works for you to get the credit cards paid down.
And do you have any money in 401ks, IRAs, anything?
I wouldn't
take
any money to pay off those.
Yeah. I've got 401k. My wife had when she was working. She has a 401k. She's probably got $80,000 sitting in hers, and I've got about over $600,000 sitting in mine.
No, you're not so dire after all. How old are you?
Yeah. I'm 55.
You're actually
won't be retiring off me till I'm 67.
You're actually doing. You're doing okay. Yeah.
How much did you have in credit card debt 3 years ago?
Oh, I think it's probably been sitting. Honestly, guys, it's probably been pretty steady.
Okay. How long have you been married?
20 years.
Okay. So here's what your options are. You can refinance this. You said you're 55.
Yeah. Refinance. I don't. But then you're going to take that money and amortize it over the next 30 years.
I would do a 15-year note, Scott, on the house. His credit's good, so he makes timely payments. He just got himself behind the eight ball for a little while. He obviously saves in his 401k.
How much are you saving in it now?
And I max out the 401k.
Okay. And is your wife precluded from working outside of the home? Does she have some sort of a condition that won't allow?
Probably after the first year. After the first of the year, she's probably going to jump back into the workforce.
Okay.
All right. So I'm with.
So here's what I would do. I would take $350,000. I'd look at a 15-year $350,000
mortgage.
You're 55. It'll be paid off to 70. So the house is paid off at age 70.
When your wife goes back to work, figure out what it would take to get the house paid off in 10 years.
And then maximize both your 401k and her new retirement savings plan. And if you need to sit down with a qualified advisor to walk you through this, then so be it. And that
we
is
thought the, you were in dire shape until you told us you've been saving and you've got money.
You're like the man with a ham under his arm crying hungry. I mean, you're fine.
Okay, well, that's, you're making me feel better.
No, what you're doing is you're having a hard time managing on a day-to-day basis. And I guess there's probably an auto loan out there, or is there?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Cars are all paid off.
Listen.
This is just credit card.
All right, so I would probably.
You just need to figure out a way to stop the impulse spending.
Yeah, so what I would do,
really,
the way to stop the impulse spending is to make the future more important than the present. And the way to do that is to figure out the date that you can retire and what your lifestyle is going to look like. And that's going to take a qualified advisor. So the way to change your own behavior is to make the future more important than the present. So I would recommend that you sit down with promote our own services on the air. I would meet with one of our advisors in the Bay Area, and I would actually have them show you when you can retire if you do certain things. And maybe it's 10 years. I'm guessing it's at least 10 years. It could be as long as 15, but it's doable by your age 70. It is absolutely doable by the age 70. And what we'd look at is how much money you're going to pay down between now and the time you retire. What's your 401k or contributions going to look like? Are there any other outside things? And then you say, here's a plan. I can live with this. This is how much I can spend every month. And as long...
Okay, that sounds great.
I've done it with so many of my own family. We do it with clients all the time, which is, look at, if you do this, this, and this, this is what the outcome is. With a high degree of certainty, based upon statistical probabilities of events, so that's what I would do. You're fine.
Can you give me that refund numbers again? What I should be looking at?
You're going to probably do a $350,000 refi. 15 years. You're going to take 50 grand out. You're going to pay
as
down
much
that
as
mortgage.
We're typically opposed to that,
but otherwise, he seems you're okay. And then you got to figure out when you're going to retire, because you said when we started the conversation, you acted like, I don't know if I'm ever going to retire. Well, you'll be able to retire.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, ideally, I'd want to at 67, and between 67 and 70.
You might be able to.
But you don't go, I don't get in my car and say I'm going to go to, I'm going to drive to L.A. and then just wander around. I normally have
sort of
plan as to when I'm going to go. And normally when I get in the car to go someplace, I kind of know when I'm going to arrive. And retirement's no different.
Gotcha.
Retirement's no different. So appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wish you well,
Dan.
Thank
you, guys.
Yeah, we're both thinking,
I didn't.
That's a lot of credit card debt.
Yeah. But otherwise, it's unusual, because normally you just see that much credit card debt. The rest of the financial situation is in shambles.
Yep.
Highly unusual.
There are also people that always have credit card debt.
Yeah.
They get to a certain comfort level with it.
But he's been comfortable with it the whole time, but something's changed.
Yeah, something's changed.
Something's changed.
And matter of fact, if we drilled that deeper, there's probably maybe something happened.
Work or...
Yeah, or friend.
Home or friend or...
Something's changed.
Something's changed.
Well, it's interesting, because you said you should meet with one of our advisors. What we find over Hanson McLean... and we've got a great team of advisors throughout Northern California and throughout Denver, and talked to quite a people just over the phone. But it's usually when someone comes to us just for an initial consultation, something's happened in their life.
There was a trigger.
Some trigger. Maybe there's a change at work where now maybe their job doesn't look quite as secure as it did. Maybe there is a health issue with someone they care about and someone they know.
Maybe they just... don't like their job anymore because of the change in the company, and something that they enjoyed doing a year ago and think they could do forever has suddenly changed through no fault of their own.
To be part of the program, call 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're in Sacramento with Marilyn. Marilyn, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Marilyn.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love your show. I think of it as like Google for financial questions.
Oh, well, thank you.
Wow. Thank you. That's a compliment.
We think of ourselves as Bing for financial questions, though. So,
or what was the original one? Anyway.
I have a duplex that I purchased in the early 80s, and I want to sell it. I'm tired of the rental business.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and my tax situation is going to be terrible. And I'm just wondering, is there any kind of option I have other than just to any kind of investment option that I have to defer some of these taxes or something?
Yes, there are. But sometimes the options are actually worse than paying the taxes.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Okay. I mean, so you can clearly do an exchange on what's the duplex worth?
I'd say $375 to $400.
All right, let's call it $375. And you've bought it since the early 80s, so let's assume your tax basis is very low because you depreciate. You paid a lot less for it. You depreciated it. So
absolutely, yeah.
Let's assume your cost basis is $75,000. Just so you have roughly $300,000. I'm going to just make numbers up, but it's somewhere ballpark. So you have roughly $300,000 of capital gain that you would pay if you sold this.
Right.
You'd have to report $300,000 of capital gain. The maximum federal rate's 20%. State of California, for the wonderful privilege of living in this state that you do, is going to whack you with another probably 9%, 9.3% on this.
So you're talking about a third. So you can do a tax-free exchange into another property.
You might have alternative minimum tax smack you too, but a third, roughly a third is going to be good.
But you can do a tax-free exchange into another property. You can do a tax-free exchange into what's called a tenants in common. Of which we don't see many of them now. We saw a lot
don't
in 06 and 07, 2006.
That's where you're partners with people you don't even know.
They were terrible. They were awful.
But it can be structured. If you had three other friends that were all in the same situation and said, let's hire someone to manage a
but
property.
But you still have the property. I mean, so do you not want, are you retired or close to retirement?
I'm retired.
Okay.
And here's what we saw people. So I don't know what you're. I don't know what this duplex is worth at the bottom of the market a decade ago, 9 years ago, right? But we did see a lot of people at the top of the market didn't want to pay the tax, exchanged for a new property. The new property fell in value by more than they would have paid in taxes. So we don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
We don't know what the future is going to be.
Do you? Right. You don't want to be in property at all anymore, correct, Marilyn?
No, it's. You know, you think when you're retired, you'll have more time to do.
All right, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this: will your life change at all if you walk away with $275,000 in cash post deal, or you were in a new property and didn't pay the taxes? From a cash flow standpoint, to the house, is your lifestyle going to change?
No.
Well, then
pay the tax. So I I'm going to share a quick story. So this client's hardworking. Family, they came in, they were 65, and he said, I'm going to retire, and this is our net worth, and we've owned these 15 properties for this amount of years, and we're going to continue to manage them. Oh, by, and they're fourplexes, some of them, so we have the wash machines in it that take the quarters, and he goes out and repairs it himself, and he was telling me how they're going to travel, and they're going to buy a second home in the mountains when they retire, and they had the net worth to do it. And I said, that'll be great. I said, so who's going to drive home to fix the wash machines and take care of the properties and tell me about this great retirement? Because you don't have a passive investment, you have an active investment. So
if your goal is to die with as much money as possible, then if it makes sense to sell it, then exchange to another property and continue to manage.
I would sell
it. That will ensure you'll have the highest probability of a high net worth when you die. If your objective is to have a great, enjoy some life for the years that you've got ahead of you and you're sick of this, then if it were me, I'd sell it and pay the tax and move on.
Got it.
Just pay it and move on.
All right, good.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck to you, Marilyn. All right, thanks.
And sell it quickly. Don't.
This is a hot market.
This is a hot market.
Yeah, a lot of
people are stretching for yield.
Yep.
We don't know how long it's going to go on, but
don't get too greedy.
Yep.
We will continue taking your calls, and if you want to join us, 888-2-HANSON is the number. Again, that's 888-2-HANSON.
But before we go,
and numerically,
I'm sorry.
888-2.
Look how sorry about that.
You're so kind of apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. You sound so sincere. 888-2. I've worked with you a long time. I was just so sincere. I'm like, wow, I don't get that very often. 888-242-6766. Go ahead.
I'm changing. I've been taking yoga, so I'm starting to lighten up a little bit. If you'd like Scott's new book, we have 100 copies we're giving away. It's new to them.
Okay.
Personal Decision Points. It's free if you go to Hanson McLean. 100 of them we're giving away. HansonMcLean.com/book. These normally we sell them for $9.95 on Amazon, but it's yours free if you go to HansonMcLean.com/book. Enter your information and we'll send you a copy.
We'll be right back. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Again, if you want to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 888-2-HANSON is the contact number here, 888-2-HANSON. Let me just throw out really quick before we get back to the calls. And, Pat, you had mentioned it earlier in the program, a woman who called, and you said, well, if you were in our office, here's how we'd do things for you. So not very often we make a pitch for our show, but we're almost at the end of 2017. It's not too late to do some planning before the year's out.
Some tax planning and financial planning.
Just some financial planning. So
that might involve
once the year's the tax year's over, it's over. So like this, we had a call. Should I take money from my retirement account to pay for some? So if you got some financial issues, or you're about to retire or recently retired, or you wonder if your portfolio is structured well. It might make sense to do it before the end of the year, truly. And there might be some. Might make sense to sell something and incur a small capital gain based on what your tax bracket is today. And once this year's gone, it's gone. So I just want to encourage, just throwing it out there, if you haven't met with a Hanson McLean advisor, we've got advisors all throughout Northern California, the Bay Area, Sacramento region, and in Denver as well. And we have our advisors, we actually have clients in, I think, 49 states. So many clients just do a video conference or a phone call with Hanson McLean Advisor. So I just strongly encourage you. 1-888-2-HANSON is also the number, or you can just go on the website, HansonMcLean.com, and say, hey, how can I chat with an advisor? And we'll get you set up. As always, our consultations are of no charge. So
yeah, see if we can help.
Yeah.
And especially the difference between tax preparation and tax planning is massive.
Yeah. And we're not
accountants, but we certainly look at a holistic view of people.
Well, particularly is when you're nearing retirement or in retirement, you tend to have much more control over your income tax situation than you do while you're working. You're working, here's what your wage is. Now you're just looking at deductions. When you're retired, now it's,
how do I take money when?
I've got these dollars here. If I sell, what would that do? If I take money out of my 401k, what would this mean? I've got cost basis in this, et cetera. So
let's talk a little bit about year-end tax.
Now, there we go.
There we go.
Then we'll, yes.
Just as a teaser. Why would you change the station now? We're talking about tax.
Huh? There we go.
So what are the things you should be doing?
Well, if you're trying to, based on what we were talking about, if you're retired and you're trying to figure out some best thing, I mean, you definitely want to do some planning before the year's out. This is the kind of plan that should be happening earlier in the year. But here at the end of the year, there's still a few things you could do. And of course, the big challenge, we don't know what the tax situation is going to look like next year, but we know this year.
So one of the things that you should consider is making a Roth conversion, taking an IRA and making a Roth conversion, as well as making contributions to your pension plans or setting up a solo K
for
your
business?
If
you are self-employed, you can establish a solo K or any other type of pension plan, frankly. If it's established before the end of the year, you have until your tax filing to fund that. So yes. You can establish the account.
And it doesn't actually require you to fund it either.
No.
So why wouldn't you establish it with the hopes of funding it?
Yeah. Solo K works great if you don't have any employees or even some sort of 401k plan. If you do, at least take a look at this. It's a no-brainer if you are self-employed and think that you and you want to put some money in your own retirement account, a SEP IRA or a Solo K. Solo K gives you much more flexibility, but that must be established before the end of the year. Also, is paying state income taxes. It may make sense to pay your state income taxes this year. Maybe you've had a little different change in your tax situation. You have incomes higher this year. It might make sense for you to pay your state income taxes
as well as property taxes.
As well as property taxes. Some states allow you to spread them out over two tax years, and it might make sense to put them into one.
If you own a business, a small business, consider your 179 expense.
Expenditures.
For capital expenditures. Especially if you were planning on buying a piece of equipment or some machinery in the first half of next year.
Hopefully, if you're self-employed, you're getting some advice from somebody on these sort of items. And if I look through some of these things.
But
that's what I'm bringing it up.
That's what you would hope, but how many times have you...
I know. If your estate's large, it's $14,000 a year that you can gift to your children, or actually anyone you'd like before it impacts the gift and estate tax rules.
Your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors.
But with the estate limit at $11 million for a couple or...
It doesn't apply to many people.
$5.5 million for an individual.
It doesn't. That doesn't apply to the estate taxes are pretty much a non-issue for 99.
Yeah, but if you're in a situation where your estate's, if you're single and it's larger than $5.5 million, or you're married and it's larger than 11, it's certainly something to consider. And then any charitable giving you do this year,
especially appreciated securities.
Oh, no question about it.
Especially appreciated securities.
It's a great thing. Anyway, 1-888-2-HANSEN. If you want to be part of the program, we're going to go back to the phones here in a moment. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-242-6766. Let's go to Kansas City and talk with Doug. Doug, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning.
Hi, Doug.
Quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
We will have a good portion, a large investment portfolio that we will never need to tap for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'll have a significant pension,
okay,
and it'll cover all of our expenses. Plus, we'll probably be saving money out of it, you know, for the foreseeable future. And we're coming within about 3 years of retirement. What's the investment strategy? Because you don't need the money, you just park it and not risk it. Or do you say, because I don't need the money, hey, let's see if we can just build this thing
that's
up
a great question.
As big as we can.
All right. So Doug, is this money inside of IRAs or outside of IRAs?
No, it's all in 401k,
okay.
Pretty much.
Here's the interesting thing, Doug. And other listeners are like, well, that's a good problem to have. But my guess is you and you're married?
You
said
yes.
We. Okay. So you and your wife have always lived below your means.
Yes.
My guess is material things really don't excite you, right? So it's like, why do we need to waste all that extra money? What's the point? Doesn't do anything for you. So you've been great savers. Now you find yourself near retirement thinking, we're not going to need these dollars. So now the question really is what's the plan with the money?
So I'm going to share a quick story with you, which was a very similar situation that I had with Hanson McLean had with a client. And this gentleman retired, had his own business, two children, and plenty of money. Retired, was starting to take some income. And I explained to him, you know, you'll have more than enough money left over for your children. More than enough. You don't even need to worry about it. And then we do a risk profile to see whether his portfolio should be moderately aggressive or more aggressive or super aggressive. And
It's only one tool. They're not perfect, those little silly tools.
Yeah, but it's a start. And so we had him in a moderately aggressive portfolio, which was appropriate for him, given his history and his education and the amount of money he had. And after about a year and a half, he said to me, "I'm really disappointed with these returns." And I said to him, "These returns are absolutely appropriate for the risk tolerance that we have invested in. In fact, I'm proud of them." And he said, no, Pat, you misunderstand. He said, "I'm not unhappy with the returns for this risk. I don't know if I'm in the best investment for my long term." And I said, "Well, tell me what you mean." He said, "Pat, you told me that I would never run out of money and that a large portion of this would go to my children." He said, "So I think about this portfolio as how would my children invest it?" I said, "Wow, that's interesting." So I said to him, "You know, the problem with investing really aggressively at the age of 70, 69 for your wife is that you are going to emotionally react to the portfolio if we go through some rough times in the market." He said, "I get that." I said, "But there's a way around that." I said, "We're going to take your portfolio and split it in half. And the half of the portfolio you're taking income from, we're going to invest appropriately for your age and your risk tolerance. The other half of the portfolio, we're going to invest it as if you were 40 years of age. We're going to make it an aggressive growth portfolio." I said, "That will do great over your children's lifetime." I said, "The thing that will derail this portfolio is you reacting to the market fluctuations in that portfolio, either on the upside or the downside. So if we go aggressive for the portion of the portfolio that we expect your family to inherit, your children to inherit, we're not going to change that strategy much. We could change it a little, but we're not going to change it much based on market conditions." And it's worked beautifully because psychologically, it's taken those portfolios and put them into two different lanes, if you will.
Which is why I mentioned, Doug, it's really important to figure out if you're not going to need these dollars, what are they going to be used for? Are they for your kids? Are they for some other organization or from some nonprofit? I mean, if you're not going to spend them, you can't take them with you at the end of the day. So kind of part of it is really figuring out what would be the, if Doug doesn't need these dollars, and you might not be quite ready to say, "I'm ready to give them away today," just what if, right? But if the highly likely that you're not going to need these dollars, then really, where are they going to go? Who are they going to be used for?
And that's an investment side of it. The other side you should look at, how old are you, Doug?
I am 54.
Okay. So what we should be looking at is there opportunities at this point in time to actually convert any of these dollars to a Roth IRA so that we minimize the required minimum distribution at your age 70 and a half. And that takes some tax planning.
That's something to definitely look into, though. But my guess is if you're still working, probably not right now.
Not now, but you said you're about 3 years away from retirement, which will give you a good 10-year runway to convert money from regular IRAs or 401k into Roths.
Indeed. I think we've already decided that we're going to have to try to convert as much as we can just to minimize the RMDs.
What's your approximate, what's your approximate family income?
About three.
I mean, it's really what this really comes down to. If you're not planning on spending these, you've got a long term to let these dollars grow, a long time, right? So then it really falls back on how will you both react and act in the next market downturn? And if you're able to separate these assets from realize that, look, these are long term dollars. I'm a student of history. I understand things go through cycles. Next downturn is going to look ugly. There's going to be people say it's the big ones. No, you know, it's a game changer. But you realize, no, things are going to bounce back. They always have. And you're able to separate yourself. Then you should be very aggressively invested, whether you're 54, 64, or 74.
I like your approach of splitting that apart.
I think
my wife would be more comfortable with that, too.
Yeah, and just view them as if your children were investing the dollars. How many children do you have?
Two.
All right. And you may want to start gifting at some point in time. How old are the kids?
Oh, gosh, they're in their 20s, early 20s.
Responsible?
Yes, actually.
Well, thankfully. Yeah. So what that splitting it does is just really kind of it lets you to segregate in your mind the behavior of each portfolio. Not that one is better than the other. They just have different objectives.
Yeah. Good luck, Doug. Appreciate your calling. You know, it's interesting, Pat. Investments are so much based upon how we're going to react to them. A proper portfolio is one that we can live with through the good times and the bad times, right? That's the right kind of portfolio.
And risk is actually nothing other than that the expected outcome is different, or the outcome is different than you expected.
That's probably a good way to look at it.
That's what risk is, right? So if you have a portfolio that goes up 20% one year and down 20% the next and up 40 and down 10, and you know it from the outset that that's the possibility or probability, you don't view it as risky.
Well, this is the part of our program we do periodically where we talk real advice. And during our real advice segment, we have a Hanson McLean financial advisor join us and share an experience of someone that they had working with. Keep in mind that the experience that this particular client had may not be the same kind of experience you have, and you might have a might not work out quite as well for you as this last one. This is
Maybe even better.
Well, that could be better.
But this is a legal disclosure.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so
which we didn't even speed up our voice on the legal disclosures like you hear on other commercials.
Sometimes it's hilarious. Like some of these
you can't even understand it.
It's like, okay, you're complying with the letter of the law. Well, when there's so many disclosures, I understand why it works. See, the car dealers would say, hey, here, come in. The car's only $8,000. Then you show up in the dealership and there's no $8,000 car.
Doesn't know that?
Know what?
Know that a lot of times the advertisements you see are not true.
Yeah, but that's why at least they'll have the the VIN number, so you can go in and
you can. Say,
I remember I had a friend. He bought the exact car that he heard advertising at the price that was advertised. That's not typical because
it was bound to happen.
But unfortunately,
pure statistics alone would say that it was going to happen at some point in time.
He had to record it and listen to it in slow motion to get the VIN number. I'm joking.
That's actually funny.
It is. Oh. All right. Anyway, so Barbara Healy is joining us this week, and Barbara has been with Hanson McLean for over 13 years. She's been a financial advisor for over 20. She's a certified financial planner professional, as well as a chartered retirement planning counselor, and she works out of our Roseville, California office. Barbara, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, of course. Glad you are joining us on our Money Matters program. So tell us about a situation you were recently working with.
Well, it's perfectly aligned with what you're saying earlier about doing some tax planning. And we mention a lot of these things at year end. I think the topics of tax planning, don't they come up around year end and then in April. And then that's about it.
Usually right? April when it's too late for us to do anything.
Right. And clients come in and say, should I buy a house? Usually after they've met with their CPA, should I buy a rental? And it's usually regarding taxes. But we work to make sure that you're looking at tax planning all year long, right? It's not just, a couple times a year. So this ties in perfectly with what you guys were mentioning. So this scenario is about a couple who they give generously to their church. They're retired. They have a pension, Social Security, and some IRAs. They have a sizable cash position they use for travel and emergencies and home repairs, but they use that cash to donate to their church, right? Makes sense. But just this year, they turned 70 and a half, so they're required to withdraw from their IRA about $40,000. So this couple, like a lot of retirees, they don't need or want that additional taxable income, but the IRS mandates it, and it's an RMD, right? Required minimum distribution. Well, the clients were concerned that wait a minute, what if I take this extra $40,000, my income is $60,000, I'm going to be in a higher bracket, right? So as background, the Congress passed, or they made permanent recently, a rule where those who are physically over the age of 70 and a half could use their RMD distribution as a charitable donation and not pay taxes. So it's called QCD, Qualified Charitable Distribution. So QCD allows for the amount donated, as long as it came from the IRA, to be excluded from taxes altogether. And for most folks, it's a better outcome than the old way of being taxed on your return and then writing it off as a deduction.
Because? Right? Because?
It never hits the tax return.
Well, first of all, about 70% of Americans currently take a standard deduction. And it might be much more in the future, if depending on what tax bill is actually put into law. And then there's other tax. There's other things to consider. There's the elimination of personal exemptions, the reduction of itemized deductions as your income goes higher, the taxation of Social Security.
So it's almost right. like it didn't happen in terms for tax purposes.
It's awesome. So for this client in particular, they had $40,000 that has to come out. They typically donate about $15,000 to their church. So instead of writing, and we talked about this right in the beginning of the year, instead of writing a check from their cash for $15,000 of the church, we sent that amount directly from their IRA to their church. So they didn't touch the money. It went right to the church. The difference, $25,000, is taxable, but by not having that $15,000, it kept their income in the lower bracket.
That's good planning.
Yep.
Well, it's good legislation, and how often do we say that?
So, Barbara, just for the rest of the listeners, Scott, we had this discussion. It cannot be transferred to a donor advised fund, though. It has to go directly to a charity. So,
which is one downside of it.
Yeah. So you've heard Scott and if you've listened to the show at all, you've heard Scott and myself talk about the values of donor advised funds. This doesn't apply to the donor advised funds.
And what have you guys seen? I've been very surprised since this rule became permanent, and they before that re-upped it every year and quite often at the last minute.
Typically, but it was at the last minute. It was always the latter part of December. And so most people didn't want to deal
January.
With it.
January.
Yeah.
That's right. So, seriously, one year. Remember they did it in January.
Yeah, after the fact.
Wow.
Thanks.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but have you been surprised at how many clients? You all donate substantially, and one of our core values is giving to the community. And maybe it doesn't surprise you, but it has surprised me how many clients take advantage of this.
It's great.
Who donate to their charities, their churches, their whatever it is. And it's a really high percentage.
And it doesn't actually, even if you give $100 a month to your church, it makes sense to actually do it if you've got required minimum distributions. But I'll share a personal.
If you have that, and here's the funny thing about Barbara, we've all seen this. Oftentimes, those that are the most nervous about their retirement and their finances are some of the best savers.
They've lived
their whole life below their means, right? They get to retirement. Many people aren't even touching their IRAs. They have other assets they're living off. And so now they don't really want to spend the money, and suddenly they find themselves at 7.5 with this required minimum distributions. The clients you were just talking about, they must have had north of $1 million, right? Because they have to take $40,000 a year.
Yep.
They live a relatively modest lifestyle. They probably don't have a desire to have an increase in lifestyle. They don't want to be paying Uncle Sam all his additional dollars just because they turned another year on their birthday. And they also know that age 70, they don't have as many years ahead of them as they've had behind them. So it's like, what's the purpose of
the money?
I've got these accumulated dollars because we've been savers and live below our means. And now what? And that's why I think we see more and more people take advantage of this technique.
So if you haven't taken your required minimum distribution yet, the general public, and you're required to take this, consider talking to an advisor about whether it makes sense to gift it to
time.
A charity. You still have time.
Still a couple
There's
weeks left.
But I'll tell you, so it's the funny thing about the...
Barbara, appreciate
you
joining us.
Thanks, Barbara, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for being part of Hanson McLean.
Yes, very much. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So, I for tax reasons, take appreciated assets, put them in a donor advised fund.
So another great strategy.
Great strategy.
And you can use donor advised funds for that strategy.
But we're in church, and my wife writes a check every week to the to put in the basket as they pass the basket. And
that's because you're Catholic and you're supposed to put something in that goes by, are you not? I just remember as a kid, I'd go with every time I went with a Catholic church. The Protestants we feel okay about it. You can debit by credit card once a month, but the Catholics, you got to put something in the basket.
I think so, because I don't personally. But I said to her,
I've been in church and someone hand me money to put in the basket when it comes by.
I
think when I was in my 20s, I'm with my father-in-law.
And
I really enjoy going to church with him. He gave me a dollar to put in the basket.
That kind of reminds me when my son was little, he was about four.
I stuck in my pocket.
He said,
I'm joking.
When my oldest was about four, he said, Dad, can I have a dollar? And he, I gave him a dollar and he put it in the basket. And then I said to him, and the basket's going down the thing. I said, you can pay me back when we get home. And he pops up and he runs down.
Nice.
He chases down the basket. And he pulls it out.
By the way, I know.
He brings it back to me.
That's the, I think part of it is the you're trying to teach generosity, not holding on to money too tightly, those sort of principles.
Yes.
And I don't, frankly, I have no idea if you're supposed to put money in the...
Well,
I just do his broad statements.
No, so,
meant no offense to anybody, by the
way.
Well,
but my wife, that's...
Okay.
I said, what do you...
Why does she have a checkbook with her?
She brings it to church to get money. And I said, look, we have this charitable donor advised fund that it makes so much more sense to give it from that, even if it's $100 or $50 a week, whatever the number is, to take it from that, and I'll just send it to him once a year. And she said, nah, that's not going to work. I'm like, why does I have to put something in the basket when it comes by?
There we go. See,
so
I
your
wasn't
point
too far
is
off.
Well taken. I don't have to. I'm comfortable doing it. So
you let that one slide, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the tax planning thing. Relationship with my wife was not superseded by tax planning.
So we talk often on this program about everything works perfect until you involve people, right? Yes. And we all have our, I don't want to call them issues, but we're all wired certain ways. Might have to do with how we view risk.
We can call
them issues.
How we
think about give, whatever.
Idiosyncrasies.
The most important thing is to design your financial life around who you are, not who you wish you were.
That's a good point, right? Put guidelines and curbs on yourself.
Structure things.
Pay yourself first. If you spend a lot of money every time you get it.
If you have trouble with credit cards, don't carry the credit cards.
Yes. You've got to build your life.
If you are so afraid of spending that you don't know, you can't enjoy your savings, set up so you have a monthly check coming in each month so you can feel comfortable about spending.
Especially in retirement.
I mean, there's all these different issues. And frankly, a part of if you're working with a financial advisor and you've never gotten this deep with this financial advisor, either A, get this deep with that financial advisor, or B, find a different financial advisor.
That talks about you and your money, not just your money.
That's right. That's when you're going to get the true value out of an advisory relationship. And obviously, Hanson McLean Advisors, we are financial advisors, so we are biased to think that people do better having a good financial advisor. Anyway, we are out of time. We're here every weekend at this same time, at this same station. Plus, you can get a podcast. Just go to HansonMcLean.com, sign up for our podcast, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.